We started off with that $150,000 sale, and the last deal that I was involved with that same customer was $10.5 million. You know, I think of customer success as the kind of leading edge that should be kind of working with the customers and finding those things and then handing it off to a sales engineer to really chase down and pursue doing a proof of concept and proving that it works. And then account rep getting involved in bringing in a sale. You need commitment from the whole company. It can't be about a person or a bench of people that are chasing things for reps and for customers. One of the worst things you could do for customer success when you're working with enterprise organizations, they have a lot of needs. And if you're willing to listen to those needs, you better be willing to deliver on those needs. Pretty simple. You make customers successful and big things come your way. Capturing that, the kind of sentiment of the customer at every chance you can, every time you can get on the phone, I think is super important.
Any advice you'd give to someone who's sort of an aspiring customer success pro like yourself?
Yeah, I would say that the worst thing you could do is say that's not my job. My favorite title ever is Chief Customer Officer, because
Right.
it just shows that the business takes customers, you know, seriously.
In this episode, I sit down with an old friend and colleague, Matthew Armstrong, the head of customer success at Sidechain Security. Matthew shares insights into building a thriving customer success organization. He also gets into the importance of aligning objectives with clear metrics, and we talk about engaging proactively with our customers to really give them a personalized touch. We discuss the importance of cross-functional collaboration and gathering feedback from our customers post-sale so that we can continuously improve upon our product and our services. He really gets into the traits of what make a thriving and successful customer success organization. But one of the important themes that kind of rings true throughout the interview is the importance of everyone in the organization shifting to a customer-centric mindset. So let's kick things off with a little bit of background. And if you could, just set the context a little bit for where you've been and where you're at today. I think it's really important. We've been talking about customer success here, but give us some background on, where you've been and how you've gotten to where you are.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got into the software business about 20 years ago. It was in 2003. I got my first job in tech support at a learning management software company, you know, and kind of made some waves really quickly there and jumped over to professional services pretty quick. And then left the company and followed my boss over to a security startup. And, you know, when I got there, this was in 2006. This was in data center security, data at rest encryption, key management, things like that. So I had got to the company and made some quick friends with customers. Found myself dedicated to a couple customers. We didn't have a formal customer success program or anything like that. I was a support engineer who said, "Hey, let me take this giant customer." I took training with that customer because they signed up for their first contract the week that I started. And the company didn't have internal training yet for support engineers. So they said, "Why don't you go and sit in on this training with this
So it was a
customer?"
customer training you were sitting in on as a customer engineer. Gotcha.
Yeah, it was a large, you know, bank, and
Okay.
they were it was their first purchase. It was about $100,000, $150,000 for the kind of starter kit, and they paid for education for their people. So I sat in on the class and made friends, and eventually, you know, took over their account. You know, I started weekly meetings with them, and just to watch out for pitfalls, because it
Right.
was early software, and when you're dealing with encryption at that layer, there's some bugs early
There's
on.
some bugs, buggy.
It is buggy. So we had some challenges, but you know, being there for the customer is really what saved it. You know, we had our challenges early on, but you know, where we were very responsive to them, we would proactively join calls for deployments, just anticipating that something is going to go wrong, and you know, kind of grease the skids there for sales, you know. And once
Right.
we got them happy, you know, that meant more and more servers they needed to onboard and encrypt. So, you know, we started off with that $150,000 sale, and the last deal that I was involved with that same customer was $10.5 million.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, and
Okay,
that's
well, if
just
that
one
doesn't
deal.
define customer
That's not
success, I don't know
cumulative.
what
Yeah.
does.
So,
Wow.
you know, it's it's important to remember that, sometimes even the customers that you have the biggest issues with and, actually run into bugs and problems, as long as you're there with them, it's better than a customer that never has problems, because they're always thinking about you. They know that you have your back. And, I got some really nice, mentions and kind of an award from that customer for the company, which the CEO put on the wall in the lunchroom and said, everybody needs to do this because the cheapest customer
Wait,
is the
so the
biggest customer.
customer gave you an award. Is that what you're
Yes.
saying? Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm
Customer gave
thinking
me.
your employer gave it to you, who you were working for, but
No.
the actual customer had okay, there we go.
The actual customer gave me an award for outstanding customer service. And,
Awesome.
they put it up on the wall, and the CEO at the time gave a nice little talk to the company and read it out loud to everybody and said, this is what this company needs to be about.
I
We need to
love
take
that.
care of our customers because, like I said, the cheapest customer is an existing customer. The cost of acquisition for an existing customer is basically nothing, right? So that's a lot easier than chasing new labels. So
Yeah,
I've always seen.
well, the theme for 2023 in the go-to-market space was, healthy growth. We tried to get away from growth at all costs and focusing purely on acquisition to how can we grow more holistically as organizations. And that's number one, is what you just described, is how do we maximize the value within our current install base. We're so quick to turn around and go and grab more customers. You talk about going from 150 to tens of millions of dollars. What kind of timeline was that across? Was that years, quarters? I mean, how long did that really take to get to that scope of purchase?
So that last purchase was about 12 years after.
See,
But
wow.
there were also significant deals, maybe not quite 10 and a half million, but significant
Along the
deals
way,
with
yeah.
that same customer. So cumulatively, you're looking at 40 million or
Oh,
something.
wow. Okay. See, this is a whole nother level. I'm glad we're starting off with this because I really want the audience to get some perspective on the scope of your background here. As a practitioner in the customer success, customer support realm, being that you've built organizations on both sides, I really wanted them to kind of understand, not just get into what companies you worked at and those
Yeah.
sorts of things, but really like the heart of it is this. We're here to talk about how do we maximize customer success in some ways and understanding these stories. But on the flip though, I'm sure you've seen the opposite happen as well, where customers don't actualize, right? They buy
Oh,
something.
there's a customer spends, $1 million and never quite gets everything deployed, doesn't get the value out of it that they should be getting. That's the need for customer success. And customer success doesn't necessarily mean a customer success team. And when you go from company to company, customer, you'll get a different definition for what customer success is, even in the same verticals.
Right. So
There's
not
different
customer
roles.
support. I think that's that's the
That's the
key
big thing,
factor. Yeah.
exactly. So there's what it is and what it isn't, and customer support should be part of a customer success kind of strategy for a company. And that's one of the biggest things, is that you need commitment from the whole company. It can't be about a person or a bench of people that are chasing things for reps and for customers.
Right.
You kind of need commitment from product management, from engineering, because one of the worst things you could do for customer success when you're working with enterprise organizations, they have a lot of needs. And if you're willing to listen to those needs, you better be willing to deliver on those needs, right? So I
That's a key
can't tell
point.
you how many times I had to dodge around the question of, okay, when is that coming in a patch or in a version? Because there's a lot to prioritizing customer issues versus what the company has for their strategy for how to grow the product, et cetera.
Right.
But
So
that's
you're
one
talking
thing
about
that
enhancement requests in that respect, right?
enhancement
I
requests.
brought something to you. I opened up about your product and how I think I could get more from it, and I shared what that looks like with you and your engineering team, and you obviously intake that and gave us big thumbs up that, you know, you're going to factor it into the product. And then your point is a year later, a year and a half later, whatever time frame, nothing's moving. It's still not the product's not updated. It's not reflecting any changes. It's not even mapped into the roadmap. And so that does more damage than if you had not even taken the enhancement requests, right? And then just kind of left things as they were.
Because introducing yourself as customer success and saying, I'm here to listen and take your requests and prioritize them with our team, that's putting a lot out there. And if you come back and you never deliver, especially when it's spreadsheets worth of enhancement requests, it's not like one feature, it's usually a
That's what I'm thinking.
handful. So some of those, and depending on how complex the software is, how complex the requirements, dependencies are, sometimes it's not feasible, and sometimes it's not commercially applicable to other customers. So it doesn't make sense. So the important thing is to collaborate within the teams, prioritize, and then communicate back. If it's not something that's commercially viable, then say so. It's important to be transparent and honest, but when you're not collaborating properly and you're getting, the customer success managers hearing from product management saying, oh, that's we've pushed that out to next quarter. They're
Meanwhile,
going to
someone
expect
else is
it
either
next
telling you what
quarter.
you want to
There's
hear.
you
So
have to keep the
it
communication going and be
along
honest
those
with them.
same lines, do you find sales reps overpromising at the point of, you know, acquiring the customer and early on, around the idea of enhancing product based on input from customers? I would imagine that if you got a big deal on the line, if I'm the salesperson, you're probably going to be pissed off at me when I bring this account in, saying, "Yeah, they're ready to sign up for $1 million worth of software and professional services and multi-year term. It's a sweet deal." But they want assurances that we're gonna make these enhancements to the product and we're gonna support them in this way. I mean, maybe that's a product question, but I mean, I'm sure you see it when you have new customers onboarding.
Absolutely. And one of there was always a kind of a rule that as long as it's not in the quote and PO as a line item,
Just don't put it in writing.
just don't put it in writing, because then you can't recognize revenue until that feature is delivered, right? Which is kind of not the best thing. But that's why it's important also for customers to make sure that they do get it in writing. So but a good sales rep can, listen to the requests from the customer. A rep, a sales engineer, and customer success engineer all need to be really good at this, at kind of deciphering behind what they're asking for, because they could be asking for something very specific, and there's, a way more sensible way to do it that you could kind of gather and by reading between the lines and figuring out what they actually need, rather than just what they're asking for.
I mean, you actually have to be a therapist in some respects and really, what are you really
Do
after?
you really need this? Because I mean, I've seen features developed that took, $2 million, a year's worth of effort, to watch that feature ditched, 6 months later. So you got to be careful about what you say yes to and what you say no to,
Great
because,
advice.
a lot of these things, if you have more than one customer asking for it, it's probably the right thing to do, right? And if,
But we
the
always get stuck in that corner pocket situation where it's that one customer whose renewal's coming up, or it's just worth a ton of money, or they have
seven
major
figures on
upside
the
we haven't
line.
actualized. And so there's always some dangling effect of like, well, we got to get this one bug, this one feature, I'm sorry, enhanced. And that's how you end up with that, the rep leaves, or the point of contact leaves, and the whole thing gets ditched.
Yeah, I've seen some, hairy stuff, but
I bet.
even in those situations, as long as you're open and honest with the customer, candor is usually appreciated very much.
I bet. I have a question for you. When you think about the structure of a customer success organization, who does it report to in your ideal world? Who would a customer success manager report into, and what would that, strategy look like?
So the first time it was a CEO, I was a CEO report, and I always was kind of spoiled by that. I wasn't a vice president, I was a director, and so all of my peers were vice presidents, and I
Interesting.
sometimes felt like a punching bag in the room. But it's important that the CEO has the customer's heart, right? If the CEO, wants to hand it off to engineering, I don't think engineering is a good place for it to live because there's, separation of church and state that needs to happen there. I believe that customer success should really either fit into a sales organization or its own organization under a
Own business
CEO.
unit itself.
Yeah.
Interesting. You made a statement of like being a punching bag, and for those that are familiar with my background as a sales development leader, we feel the same. On that pre-sales side of things, we might report into a CEO or somewhere thereabouts, but we're not, a lot of times we're not, but the organizations, they get it, I think. And you're seeing that now. You see VPs of sales development and these sorts of things. You see chief customer officers,
I was
right?
going to get to
CSO,
that one. That's
right?
my favorite title ever, is Chief Customer Officer, because
Right.
it just shows that the business takes customers, seriously. And some products, they don't quite need that. Some products are
Fair enough.
easy, some products are, smooth, slick, and there isn't a bunch of hand-holding needed, things like that, other products. So it's, mileage may vary from product to product. There's
I
so
love
much
that. Mileage may
ambiguity that
vary. Yes.
mileage may vary
But
always.
the point about the CSO, not the chief sales officer, I'm sorry, the chief customer officer, CCO, is being a customer success company, right? I think getting everybody in every seat aligned towards the mission of customer success, particularly in realms where you have complexity and where there is hand holding needed, it's early development, early product, whatever the situation is, where customer success really is going to be the difference maker in, scaling the company and getting customers to actualize value. But I think that's the, when we were in our call originally, that was one thing that really stood out to me, is how does a company become a customer success company and really put the customer first? One thing I noticed in the sales modeling side of things, when we're building out strategy and the structure of like a sales team and the sales and marketing team, is that we always kind of want to be buyer centric. We think about our buyer's journey and we think about our sales process and enablement strategies. I don't think enough emphasis goes into actually basing this on what customers have to go through to buy, let alone what they have to go through to use the product and get the most out of it. But it's the same view that we can improve upon, is being more customer centric early on in our process. One thing that I know that doesn't happen enough of is getting actual feedback from customers that have bought from us firsthand, anecdotal feedback. Why'd you buy? What was the impetus? What was a trigger? What was a weakness in the process? Going back to our lost deals as well, the companies that have either churned on us or companies that never bought, that were in a purchase process with us, going back and talking to them and getting their feedback. Because a lot of what we build out in our organizations, again, top of funnel, pre-sale, a lot of it's assumption based. It's based off data in our CRM, and we know how. Yeah, exactly. We know how much of a shit show that can be. So you get my point. I mean, does your team, have you had strategies that you've deployed that have, cycled in or gathered that input directly from customers? Have you seen that be
Absolutely.
a key strategy? Yeah.
It is definitely a key strategy, is getting surveys out frequently.
Right.
It's a dance also, because a lot of people, it's easy to overlook emails. You get a lot of
Yeah.
spam these days. It's the noise to signal ratio is getting out of hand. Automated emails coming in
Across the
for all these
board,
things.
across the board, yeah.
So you got to make it, personable. I believe in actual customer meetings when the customer is willing, right?
Yeah.
That's the
Interviews,
important
customer
part.
interviews,
But
as
at least
opposed to
getting a
surveys. I mean,
survey.
a survey could even be flawed in itself. If you're not asking the right questions at the onset, then what you get from a survey is going to be only as good as the questions you're asking. But if you can sit down and get an interview with a customer and just open up about the process, then I think that you're right. I think those meetings, those interviews are worth a lot more than static surveys.
Yeah, because I've seen many cases where, the customer or the company's claiming a 98% customer satisfaction rate, and you talk to the customers and you get a little bit different of a story. And one thing that I was able to get out of it was a large telecom customer, and they were just never happy. They were ever since I met with them, we were meeting weekly. They were happy with how they were being treated, but they weren't happy with the end result of the product and waiting for things and things like that. And I would hear about it all the time. And then we send a survey and it's all green and
It's all
all
tens,
happy
yeah.
faces, right? And so I said, that does damage, because if you don't let it be known, it's not going to get fixed. The squeaky wheel always gets fixed. And when it comes to customer issues or how you're working with customers, that unfortunately that's how the world works, is someone complains, they're the first one to get fixed. But that's why it's important to be proactive from the beginning, have a cadence of meetings, and then follow up with surveys when appropriate.
And then the right people too, right? Because not the people
Yes.
who buy are usually the people who implement, and then the people who are the users aren't always the people who are filling out the surveys as points of contacts or buyers. So there's a dichotomy of people that you have to factor in when you're soliciting that input too, I'd imagine.
Absolutely. The buyer should be the interview, and the feedback from the people doing the implementation, the doers, it can't just be surveys. There's always going to be constant interaction when you're, with a high touch customer. So you need to glean these things out, in other ways and feed it back into the organization.
Let me switch it on you here a little bit, because I know in your current organization, you about 6 months ago built out their first customer success organization. You shared that with me in our planning call. Talk to me about if there's a customer success
Still
manager
building, and
still
it's always
building,
building,
right, always
right? There's
building. Fair
never
enough.
you're
You're never
it's
done.
never done.
But talk to me about what that looks like at the beginning. If there's somebody else out there who's going down that path, they know Q2, they got to launch, build this thing out. What are the top like two or three things that you're really honed in on when you're first building out a customer success team in an existing company?
Focusing on onboarding, making it as smooth as possible. Making it as, making it interactive, but, making the time useful, instead of, because it's easy for time to slip away. Time is a very valuable resource. So getting customers onboarded and, getting value from the product as fast as possible, that's always the number
Right.
one key.
That's the fundamental.
Fundamental is the words customer success, right? So pretty simple. You make customers successful and big things come your way, right?
Right.
So
What about
that's
KPIs?
the
I mean, I would imagine that, trying to decide on how you're going to measure success, again, customer success, how do you measure it? I imagine one way is through them actualizing more and more revenue, renewing and things of that sort, but are there other KPIs that you keep in mind?
The onboarding completion rate, it's the customer started billing, how much value are they getting out of the product? The overall kind of value, lifetime value of the customer, how much have they given us in total? The churn rate is always something to really
You're keeping
keep an
an eye
eye on
on, yeah, every
and
day, I
make sure
bet.
that it's not for cause, right? Because there's many reasons that a customer could leave, and a lot of times it has nothing to do with satisfaction or the product or anything like that. Needs have changed, something happened in the organization, it's no
Competitor
longer
came
needed.
along and yeah.
So, watching renewals, and like I said, the capturing that the kind of sentiment of the customer at every chance you can, every time you could get on the phone, I think is super important.
At what point do you think it makes sense that clients have a dedicated customer success representative? I think a lot of times it's It could be a free for
When you're
all.
talking about an enterprise organization, you know, thousands of customers, I'd always seen it as kind of a minimum table stakes to get that resource. It's an ex because if you do it properly and you have a highly trained resource that's not cheap, you got to be careful with that money, right? So I think that identifying the largest upside potential in a customer is key, right? Because not all Fortune 50 companies are your biggest spenders in a lot of cases. They'll have a use case here, use case there, but that's opportunity to grow from there. So it's about latching on to the companies that have the biggest potential and then kind of, you know, working your way through the organization, showing success, meeting other people in the organization, and especially when you're talking about a platform and bringing, you know, different kind of use cases together into a single pane of glass and one solution.
Interesting. So if it is, it doesn't necessarily mean you're, because you've spent a lot, that you're going to get a you should get a dedicated. It's more of what's the potential, and it's not the potential to us. I think it's the we want to reframe that, and it's the potential value creation that we can.
Yeah, 100%. Not
Right.
the
It's,
revenue, the value, right?
I mean,
Because
but they are married
they do
together. Let's
correlate. Yeah, they do correlate. But yeah, I because you know, I've had customers where, you know, it just makes sense and you could see all the things that you could help them with and all the challenges that they have with their core business and how you can make it better for them. And then everybody wins, right? And everybody makes, you know, money on the customer side as well.
Well, you know, it's not always a kumbaya though thing when that happens. The reality is, I think, just like marketing and other departments, even sales development, getting attribution, getting credit, if you will, for growth in organizations with accounts is something I'm sure you've had to battle in the past, where you've seen growth in accounts, but then it's not really deemed a customer success win. Is that ever happen?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's always, you know, battles over, you know, who really brought it in. And, you know, I think of customer success as the kind of leading edge that should be kind of working with the customers and finding those things and then handing it off to a sales engineer to really chase down and pursue doing a proof of concept and proving that it works. And then account rep getting involved in bringing in a sale.
Yeah. Well, last question for you. If there were somebody on the line that was aspiring to be a customer success manager, you know, they were maybe in a sales position today, an operations position, whatever they are in today, you know, we all know that, and you can come from really anywhere. What would you tell them to think about in terms of their career trajectory? I know you've seen customer success managers that, you know, don't make a ton. You've seen customer success managers that do make a ton, and you know there's a lot of dichotomy there as well. But you know, any advice you give to someone who's sort of an aspiring customer success pro like yourself?
Yeah, I would say that the worst thing you could do is say that's not my job.
Ooh, I
You
love
know what I
that.
mean? Because I've always tried to get, you know, my team or myself. I don't like to hand things off unless, you know, it's necessary. If it's something that can be done, I've seen people, you know, fight over, you know, whose job it is longer than it takes to get it done, right? So it's like if it's easy and you could do it, even if it's not necessarily within the bounds of your role, sometimes it's okay to go ahead and just do it. I've done things that were completely not customer success related in order to help a customer be successful. It's just those things come up, and I've seen a lot of pushback. And there's a balance there too, because you have to put the bounds around the role as a leader and say, this is what a customer success manager in our organization is, and this what it isn't. But at the same time, for the individual that's kind of coming up through it, you know, it's good to make friends and do favors, and a sales rep, you know, jumping in for a sales rep and getting something done really quick for them while they're out, I think goes a long way. same
love that.
sales engineers, helping out with product. When it comes to those enhancement requests, working with product management and really explaining for the customer what's needed, not just the, Jira ticket and the verbiage that's in
I
the
could have read
ticket.
that
Like,
myself.
exactly. Give a, learn to justify it and, give them ammo so that when they're prioritizing, they could justify spending time and resources on things.
Well, I love what you say about, never saying that's not my job. It goes back to the point of being a customer success company and really embracing the concept of everybody is here at the company to make the customer successful. And I think one thing that I have done with previous clients is installing a culture award. It's something that can, sort of on the spot awards, if you will, but something that someone, when someone goes above and beyond to live up to our credo as an organization, we want to be able to, reward that. And having some sort of culture award, give it whatever label you want. But usually it's like a quarterly or annual thing where, as a manager, you're taking notice and you're allocating that budget accordingly. Or maybe, it's being recognized by peers, but promoting and rewarding that kind of behavior, I think, would help get people into that mindset, because a lot of departments face what you just described, and whether it's even go to market or back office, where that's not my job. And it's always the person who's willing to step up, go above and beyond, that in my mind ends up getting promoted and ends up really moving on in their career. So I think that's tremendous advice, particularly for a customer success person.
Yeah, and like I said, I've seen customer success roles go, depending on the load and the technology and the customers, I've seen it go from a $60,000 a year job to a $180,000 a year job,
Big swing.
depending. So yeah, it's a big swing, but in those cases, you're getting a lot of, industry expertise or some kind of relevant experience that really helps that role.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Sales Consultant Podcast. If you'd like to support the show, it would go a long way if you were to write a short review on the listening app of your choice.